That's John 11, 38. Amen. Everybody have that. Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to blast the shofars. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on. Hallelujah. If he's been good to you again, give him praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated today, and if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought, you will see the glory. Amen. You will see the glory. Look at your neighbor. Amen. And say to them, you will see the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Real familiar story in the life of Jesus as he traveled, amen, and walked here on this earth. Amen. And we see that the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, were in a place that they never thought they would be. Amen. They're in a place that they never thought they would have to experience. Amen. Dealing with things, amen, that they never expected or really even planned for. Amen. Because the Bible tells us, amen, that their brother Lazarus was sick. Amen. And in that time that he was sick, amen, they sent for Jesus, amen, to come pray for him, amen, because he was sick. They knew and they trusted and believed, amen, in the power of Jesus Christ. And they knew that if Jesus came, he would heal him. How many knows if Jesus knew also that if he went, he would be healed. Amen, come on. I will talk about that maybe a little bit later, further on, amen. But we know as the story goes that Jesus didn't show up when they expected him to. I often think about them as they sent for Jesus. Amen. They just knew that he was going to come and he was going to show up. Amen. But then we find, praise God, that he didn't show up. And so I think about them as they're waiting. And every time they would hear the door, or every time they would hear, amen, a sound, or they would think somebody was coming, they probably anticipated, there he is, Jesus is here. And all the while, amen, man, their brother Lazarus was deteriorating. Amen. His sickness was not taking a turn for the better, but it was taking a turn for the worse. Amen. Until that moment came when he took his last breath. Amen. And he died. And Jesus had not showed up. Hallelujah. Amen. But here we have to understand, praise God. Amen. The Bible says, amen, that Jesus did show up. He just didn't show up in the timing that they thought he should have. How many has ever, amen, been in a place that you never thought you would be? How many of you has dealt with things that you never thought you would have to deal with? How many has ever gotten to a place and things have happened and you weren't prepared for the devastation? You weren't prepared, amen, for what happened, and you had no plans on how to handle it. Amen. You didn't know what, amen, to do. Praise God, I've been there. Hallelujah, amen. They knew, amen, and believed in the power of Jesus, but he just didn't show up. But we see in the scripture, amen, that 4 days, amen, after Lazarus had died, Jesus showed up. We don't really know how much time lapsed between the time that they sent word to Jesus and Lazarus actually died, but we know that he had been dead 4 days when Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. So I want to say right here, amen, that Jesus didn't show up when they expected, but he was there even though there was
amen, sinking. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, at that time, amen, it didn't smell like blessing. At that moment in their lives when Jesus finally showed up, it didn't smell like breakthrough. It didn't smell like the favor of God over their life. It didn't smell like it does when God answers our prayers and when our faith seems to be, amen, ignited, and we feel that unction, and we're so thankful that God has moved. But I come today, hallelujah, to talk to some people, amen, are you with me, hallelujah, that knows what it smells like in the burning furnace, knows what the smoke smells like when you're in the burning furnace. It don't smell like blessing when you're in the burning furnace. When you're, amen, what it smells like when you're inside the belly of a whale. It don't smell like blessing in the bellies, in the whale's belly. Hallelujah. Amen, what it smells like in a den of lions. I could imagine, amen, it wasn't a pleasant smell where the lions, amen, dwelt, and they used the bathroom and they ate. Hallelujah, bloody meat and all of those things. Hallelujah. Somebody that knows what it smells like. Amen, what sheep dung smells like. When you feel like you have been left out and you have been pushed away, and the only place you find comfort, amen, is in the field with sheep. Nobody else wants to be there, but you're willing to be there. I wonder if anybody here knows what it smells like. Amen, burning sulfur. Remember when Lot, hallelujah, amen, had to flee Sodom. Amen, and fire and brimstone. And he looked back and he watched his wife turn to a pillar of salt. Amen, knows what it smells like to be in a pig pen. Knows the smell in a pig pen. Amen, when you spent all that you've had and you tried everything on your own, only to end up a prodigal in a pig pen, smelling, hallelujah, the dung and the slop of the pigs. It don't smell like blessing when you're in there, hallelujah, but yet, hallelujah, God says we're favored and we're blessed by him, hallelujah. Have you ever tried to cover up stink? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. When you walk in a bathroom, worst ever, when you walk into a bathroom, hallelujah, and it smells like a bathroom, right? We get upset when somebody makes the bathroom smell like a bathroom. Come on, hallelujah. It's better than your living room. Hallelujah. But what do we do to try to cover up the smell? We spray, hallelujah, all kinds of flowery scents, all kinds of smells, country pumpkin, amen, apple spice, amen, cucumber watermelon. Ain't nothing worse, amen, than a pile of dung smelling like cucumbers. Amen. It don't take away the smell. It just covers it up. Now it smells like cucumber dung. Are you with me? Amen. It smells like a slice of apple-scented, amen, manure. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Well, I come today, amen, to preach to some people who, amen, are in a place where it stinks, where you're at isn't God. Amen, what you had in mind, it ain't happening like you thought it would happen. So much time has lapsed, amen, that it stinks. But I come today, and some of you are used to trying to cover up the stink. But I come today, amen, to not talk about a cover up, amen, but about revealing. Oh, somebody help me. Look at your neighbor and say, don't cover it up. Amen, hallelujah. God's about ready. lies and you try to cover up the sink. Hallelujah. We've been taught erroneously, amen. Hallelujah. That we can't ever speak how things really are. Amen. And this time of restructuring my faith in these last several months, as God has been pruning me, stripping me, and I've been seeing things, and I've been asking God, show me, take away the manuscript, take away what we think needs to be, take away what everybody else is doing, take away what everybody else says we ought to be when we come into your presence, and show me what matters. Let us be what you would have us to be. Hallelujah. We started a Bible study on Thursday nights, and the adults, amen, on the gift of prophecy. Amen, praise God. And how that our feelings and our emotions, amen, and our thoughts, those are supernatural activities. Those are spiritual things that God give us. Amen, that the Spirit, hallelujah, can use. And we've been told, don't say how you feel. Don't speak what it is. Let me tell you something. Amen, I've learned, amen, that it's not a sin for me to say, you know what, I'm having a hard time today. You know what, I don't feel like traveling on this morning. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't feel like lifting my hands. I certainly don't feel like getting up and preaching a bunch of people to a bunch of people. Amen, about the joy and the strength and the presence of God. I don't feel like listening to anything else. Hallelujah, but I've learned. But when I give my feelings over to the Holy Spirit, see, I may not feel like preaching today, but I know that He has called me, He has anointed me, and greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Make it not strange. There's your answer. Are you listening to me? Come to talk to some people that there's some stink in their life.
Well,
yeah. Come on. We talk about all kinds of reasons that it's sinking. Mm-hmm. But there's only one thing that causes sink. Right. Death.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. All right. Yeah. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Lazarus was dying. Satan, I know we come in, and we believe and we know, but many times when your hand is lifted, and you're praising the Lord, covering up the sink, come on somebody, inside your mind you're thinking, God, I just don't see how you can do it, I just don't see, God, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I trusted, but they just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the depths of sin and despair. God, it stinks right now. Oh, somebody help me. Are you with me? Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lazarus was dying, but Jesus delayed. He was dying. And Jesus delayed. Think about the dying state. See, when you're in a dying state, you have no appetite, you have no thirst, you're tired, you're weary, no desire. You literally start getting cold. And I've seen a lot of people in the state of dying experience pain. So in that dying state, see, when something's dying, it can only pretend to be living. I feel that for somebody in this house today. I don't know who you are, but I know that I struggled for this message today. Hallelujah. And I believe that I've got direction from the Lord. But when something is dying, it only pretends to live. Jesus didn't die for you to fake it all the way through. Come on, son. Lord, thank you to you, man, but I get it. Just because I say I don't feel good doesn't mean I don't have faith. Come on. Are you with me? Jesus comes 4 days after Lazarus died. They already had the funeral, had him buried. Listen, Jews bury people immediately. They still do. 4 days after Lazarus died, Jesus comes. Before he even gets to the city, Martha sees him coming. Can you imagine the thoughts in her mind? Really? You gonna show up now? Come on. She got to him. She said, if you would have done it the way that I expected, then he wouldn't have died.
Come on now. Come on.
I know the Bible says that she said, if you'd have been here 4 days sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. I'm going to put it in hillbilly terms today. If you would have done it the way I expected you to do it, and the way that I intended on you to do it, then he would not have died.
All right.
So it's your fault that I'm feeling what I'm feeling.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me? She said this. I think this is funny. She said, but I know whatever you ask God, he will do. Just because you struggle with God not doing the way you expected him to do doesn't mean that you still don't believe he can do things.
Come on.
Are you with me? Come on. We want to throw her under the bus, and we got to give her some credit where credit is due. Amen. So imagine if she comes and says, you know what, if you'd have done the way that I asked you to, and you would have followed through and the way that I expected this to be done, this wouldn't have happened. But on the other hand, I know that whatever you ask the Father to do, he will do it. And Jesus responded, your brother will rise again. Now here she said, I know he will rise on that great resurrection day. But I'm talking about today. So see, she had faith for the yesterday. And she even had faith for the future.
Come on.
It was the now that she had a problem with. Oh, who am I talking to today? Hallelujah. You believe when you ask him, amen, that he could do it. Amen, what needed done, you believed. And you didn't give up on him because you believed, amen, that he's coming back. Amen, that there will be a catching away. There will be an eternity. But it's the now that you're struggling with. It's all fine and well that he'll resurrect on that great day, but I sure would like to see him again right now. Oh, who am I talking to today? Hallelujah. You see, the present was very different. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Don't you make him say he is? He is. He didn't say I can raise him again. Come on, somebody. Or I will raise him again. Amen. See, if we believe in the I can, amen, we only pursue what he's already done. Amen. Amen. If we pursue, amen, praise God. If we see him as the I am, then we pursue him and not what he has done. When we pursue, amen, the I can, then we pursue what he's already did. But when we seek after the I am, hallelujah, then we seek after him and not what he's done. Hallelujah. And if we pursue him, we get what he's doing right now. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, he is the I am. Not the I can or the I will.
Come on.
Yes. I will.
Yes.
Means that it might happen in the future. But he said, I am. When you see him as I am, you seek him and not what he's done or what he will do.
Yes, yes, it's good.
And when you seek him, then you see what he's doing now. What you need now. I am the door. I am the way. I am your doctor. I am your lawyer. I am your brother. I am your keeper. Hallelujah. We've said it, preached it plenty of times. But amen, when he said I am, he means I will be. I am what you need when you need it to be. Oh, I'm talking to somebody who right now is speaking. It's speaking in your life. There's some speak right now in your life. And you feel like God has not responded. Hallelujah, when you ask. But I've come to tell somebody, you will see the glory. You will see the glory. See, there are people who are controllers. Help us out to get in their house. They got a fixer mentality. So whether they realize it or not, they like to manipulate the circumstances to get the outcome they think is best. Mm-hmm. So they'll go to this person and that person. They'll maybe have this person do this and that person do that so that the person, the thing that they're trying to fix, and amen, make sure that somebody is okay, hallelujah. And that is could be, amen, 99.9% of the time, that's not the way that God, amen, sees, hallelujah. But we can't be like Martha. If you're a controller, you know who you are today. We try to work things to where it gets the outcome that we think is the best outcome. But you see, when you're in the sink, you can't control it. You can't control it when it already has already begun to sink.
Well,
I need you to help.
Come on,
hear me today. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Martha went running from Jesus, and she went to the back to Mary, and the Bible says that she did it in secret. So I just see her going to Mary and whispering to her, Jesus wants you. The Bible, Jesus never said, go get Mary. Not one time in the scripture did Jesus say, Martha, go get Mary for me now. But here goes Miss Controller. Miss trying to fix it. She goes to Mary. She's like, Jesus is calling for you. She lied.
Right.
Straight up.
Mary's like, come on. She called. Maybe Mary will get a better answer than me. Maybe Mary will get something better than me. We can try to figure this thing out. But we know. And I preached on this not too long ago, this that happened when Mary got to Jesus, that when Mary came to Jesus, she fell instantly at his feet to worship him. Here comes Martha. You would have done this the way that I expected you to, I would be in this situation. But then here comes Mary. Mary falls down at his feet and she just begins to worship him. Weeping. Come on, somebody. Even though she did not like what had happened, she was not happy with the outcome. At that moment, everything about her life was sinking. Even though she didn't understand why he never came, she still worshiped. She still fell at his feet and she worshiped. See, Martha got a message or a sermon, as some people like to call it. Mary got a response.
All right.
There's a big difference. How many likes to be corrected? Come on. See, Martha's approach got her a sermon from Jesus. But Mary's approach, falling down and worshiping him, saying without saying anything, "I don't understand why you didn't do what I expected you to do. I don't like where I'm at, and this stinks right now, and this is not what I expected it to be, but I still worship you. I still know that you're faithful, and I trust that you know what you're doing. I need somebody." Hallelujah. Because the Bible says Jesus saw her crying, and he was deeply moved and troubled. That word troubled is the same word that troubled in my story of the man at the gate on the porch when the water was troubled. Something stirred up in Jesus. Something agitated in him. And Mary got a response from Jesus. She said the same thing, "Lord, if my brother had not died," are you catching that? She still said, after she fell down and worshiped him, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved and troubled. And he said to her, see, it's not response. If Martha would have just not been Martha. And Jesus asked her a question. "Where are you laying him?" Notice Jesus didn't say, "Where did you bury him?" "Where did you lay him?" Because he knew he wasn't finished. So, he said, "Take me to the place where you bury him." And when he got to the place where Lazarus was buried, he said, "Take away the stone."
Yeah.
Here comes the sixer.
Come on, yeah.
She said, "Excuse me. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. You roll away that stone." There's going to be an issue. It won't be pretty. But Jesus said, "Uncover the sink." 4 days, we know for a certainty that his body would have had the smell by this time. They didn't embalm, they didn't remove the blood, nothing like that. Decomposition begins immediately after a person dies.
Yep.
Immediately, it begins after they die. There's a process called analysis, where immediately there is a breakdown of the bodily tissues. And it literally is the body ingesting, digesting itself from the inside out.
Okay,
that's enough. Plug ears, because it's not going to get much better for a minute. I didn't hear exactly what you said, but I know.
That's enough.
So this breakdown, this ankylosis, as the bodily tissues instantly begin to break down, this involves the body literally digesting itself from the inside out. This is triggered by a ceasing of blood circulation and respiration that leads up to a buildup of carbon dioxide. So we're talking about the moment Lazarus died. None of those things have changed. And these acidic conditions that cause cell membranes to rupture, and they begin to release enzymes. So this is happening from the inside out. So we don't see right away on the outside when death is taking place on the inside. You'll get that next Sunday. Some of you in the state, you're in that condition. We just don't see it yet because it's working its way from the inside out. It's when you begin to see it on the outside that you're for certain, you're sure. Come on, somebody.
All right.
You know you're in the presence of death. Then about 3 hours after death, rigor mortis begins to start taking place. Once again, from the inside out. Once rigor mortis begins to set in, it becomes hard to move that which is dead.
Yep.
Who am I talking to in here today? It sinks because there's death. And when death starts its process and deterioration begins to take place, becomes hard to move, to where you find yourself in a place because of the stinky situation and circumstances, you find it difficult to lift your hands and give him praise because that spiritual rigor mortis has set in. It becomes hard to move. So now some things begin to happen on the outside. We're talking about within the first 4 days, trying to give a picture of where Lazarus was when Jesus showed up. Now some things begin to happen on the outside. Ankylosis causes blisters to form on the skin. And the skin begins to become loose from the body. And when those blisters get so full that they burst, there sometimes is a sheen that comes on the body. But the skin begins to loosen. So now things that were once held in place are now loose. Like your faith, your peace, your joy, your hope, your will, your determination, your desire. Are you with me? Things begin to loosen up and you find it easier to not pray than to pray. You find it easier to find a reason. I could have found a reason to stay home today. I'm not saying anything critical. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm telling you, when we look for a reason for something, we will find it.
Right.
Calm down.
But it makes it easier when things begin to lose their hold. It becomes easier to find reasons to do what we feel and what we don't feel like doing.
Right.
When things begin to die. And so now that decay on the inside now begins to be revealed on the outside. So that when you look at that which is dead, it starts looking different. Things that mattered don't matter anymore. You find yourself not caring about things that you should care about. Some of you, it could be your marriage. It could be your health. It could be your children. It could be your finances. It could be that which you have asked God for and He did not come when you expected it. So now, in the present, it sinks. And so things that mattered don't matter anymore. See, death don't care if you have donuts and coffee when you come to church. Oh, come on, somebody. Death don't care if you got the best music or the right programs.
Come on.
When something's in that state of death, it doesn't care whether you shake hands or you're greeted with a smile or a small gift when they walk in the door.
Uh-huh. Right.
Come on, you got to be with me. You got to stay spiritually minded as I'm talking here this morning.
Yeah.
Death don't care. Because by the time sink sets in, there's only one thing that's going to change it. By the time it gets to that place and sink sets in, it doesn't matter how many donuts and cups of coffee you have, doesn't matter how many people shake your hand or how many mints or how many welcome packets you get or how many, amen, good songs and how much presents, amen, how excited everybody else is around you. There's only one thing that's going to make a change when the sink sets in, and that's the dunamis power of Jesus Christ. What is the dunamis power? It's resurrection power. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? It ain't going to be the best motivational message, hallelujah, or the finest, amen, of sanctuaries. It ain't going to be none of the things, amen, that the manuscript says. If you have it, you'll have a lot more happy people. Hallelujah, I found that when I get to the place where it sinks, hallelujah, I don't care. Nothing matters anymore. The only thing that's going to make a difference is when the word of Jesus is spoken. Somebody help me in this place. I'm still preaching. You will see the glory. Now after the skin loosens, bloating begins. Oh, I ain't done. Brace yourself, Sally.
Won't be long.
So after the skin loosens, when things that you used to hold tight to have loosened, now that loose skin makes room for decomposition and decay, because now bloating begins to happen. The body begins holding everything in. So you're at the place where you can't let it out.
Come on.
And death has caused you to just hold it all in.
Mm.
Come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
so that now the body is swelling and the bloating has taken place because these enzymes are now producing gases. Now the body is stiff, it's hard, it's bloated, and it's becoming unrecognizable. You don't even know who it is anymore. Come on, somebody, who am I talking to today? Then liver mortis begins to set in. L-I-V-O-R, I've never really heard of that word before until I started studying what happens in the first 4 days of death. Liver mortis happens, and the skin begins to discolor. That's because the blood is settling, even clotting up. And so it causes discoloration. See, some of you, you get to that place where you're hard, stiff. You find it difficult to praise the Lord because He hasn't done what you expected. And where you're at sinks. Things that you once held on to are now loose, and gases and things are building up inside of you, and you're holding everything in. And the blood that once you once rejoiced was a borderline. We sung it this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, that blood that once made a difference is now settled, and it's even clotting. Spiritually speaking, that blood of Jesus that gives you, provides that power, it's settled now, and this discoloration begins to set in to your skin. Then there's, you ready for the next one?
No.
Somebody pray for Lori. Enjoy your lunch after church.
Oh, wow.
Now there's a process called putrefaction that begins to occur. Maggots form under the skin.
Praise God, that was too much for lunch.
I'm trying to give you a spiritual picture where some of you are today. And you come in here this morning trying to cover it up and act like everything's okay. But the Lord has sent me to tell you, you will see the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. Take away the cover. Hey, man, don't give you a you're in a safe place this morning. Hallelujah. I can't speak for any other congregations, but this is a safe place today. Roll away the stone. The street ain't gonna bother us. Hallelujah, because Jesus has come to show you He has not given up on you. And He heard you the first time that you prayed. But He's got a purpose. And He's got a reason why you're in the stink. But you will see the glory. My God, somebody, give Him a shout of praise. Now fluid begins to leak out of the body, out of orifices and places. Because as much as the body is, the process tries to hold it in, there comes a point when you just gotta let it out.
Come on.
If you don't let it out, it's gonna come out on its own. Come on, somebody hear me. I said, if you don't willingly let it out, it's gonna come out on its own. Hallelujah, are you with me? Some of you come in here this morning leaking, and seeping. Come on, hallelujah. And you've been trying to get on board when all of these were out here with their hands up praising, and all over the house people were lifting their hands rejoicing over the fact that we serve a good God. He's been so good to me. You sat there, amen, not able to move, hard, stiff, everything's loose. Are you with me? Hallelujah, seeping. As the soft tissue now starts to decompose, the fluid begins to leak out. Now it sinks. Now the smell. Has anyone ever been around dead things? And it's not just a dead person,
right,
but things decompose. Have you ever been? How many's ever put out a mouse trap or something and you forgot about it? And you walk in the room, you're like, ooh, something's dead. When somebody goes to the bathroom and you go back in, you're like, ooh, somebody done up and died in here. Come on. Hallelujah. We might as well go back there. Hallelujah. And then you. It don't work. Hallelujah. Amen. We got some spray. We got some spray in our half bath. Louise downstairs. And she hates it when somebody goes in to, amen, to try, and then they come out trying to cover up the smell and spray that. She said they'd be better off and they just wouldn't spray that stuff. Just stop. She got so aggravated at Connor the other day. I don't even know if he knows that. She said, oh my gosh, he sprayed that stuff again. You can just leave that stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. But listen, when the altar call is given and the message, hallelujah, the truth is spoken, some of you sit there, hallelujah, whenever others are smelling like a blessing, you're smelling like you're trying to cover up the sink, like everything's all right. I come to tell somebody it's okay today that everything's not all right. Just go on ahead. Let it out. Jesus has come. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel it in this house today. You leave it long enough, it's eventually left. All you're left with are bones. But how many knows, according to Ezekiel chapter 47, even bones.
Come on.
Oh, Jesus. Bones, dry bones. And they're not been laying there a long time. Hallelujah. All there is hair and bones. That ain't no issue for Jesus. Somebody just said, well, I've gone too far. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Somebody just said, well, I'm beyond the sink. And the sink is gone, and I'm just dry, and it's over. I come to tell you, dry bones, live again. Dry bones, live again. Dry bones in the valley. Wake, and you shall live. I prophesied of the north, the south, the east, and the west. Devil, it ain't over. See, listen. The Jews believe that after 3 days, the soul leaves the body and there's no possible hope. Come on, you got it. That's why Jesus, 3 days, right to the last. Good to the last drop. Come on. I don't mean to downplay it, but just like Maxwell House. Come on, that's what Paul said. Hey, man, I've run the race. I finished the course. Hallelujah. I'm now ready to be made an offering. The drink offering was poured out, and it was good to the last drop. The first drop was just as powerful as the last drop. Oh, somebody help me in this place. But if God, you're not done, let me be good to the last drop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they believe. That's why they bury. They don't embalm, they bury people right away. They believe that. That's when demons leave and all of that, everything. That's the soul officially departs and there's no hope. Now here's Lazarus. 4 days. Not only did he sink, but in their mindset and frame of mind,
it's gone.
Hopeless.
Right.
It's done. It's gone. And Jesus said, where are you? Where are you laying? See, he was buried and forgotten by most.
Come on.
Except those who cared the most for him.
Don't
expect everybody else to care about what's got you sinking. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? Don't expect other people. Amen. I used to think, amen, in my younger, amen, spiritual days, that people just don't get it. People just don't understand. I can remember talking to my mom and trying to talk to her about things I was struggling with, and she would just say, get the devil's a liar. You just got to get him out of the way, and it's the truth, and you just need to shake up, shut up, and move on. I'm like,
oh. It's not that easy.
Because most are not going to care about what we care about. Other people ain't going to care about your marriage that stinks. They're not going to care about your children who are prodigals and in the pig pen that's stinking. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yes.
The Bible says Jesus wept again.
Yeah.
He realized the pain of their suffering. And then he said, take away the stone.
Yeah.
Martha says, you can't. Master, it stinks. He said, did not tell you to keep trusting that you will see the glory of God.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Somebody said, well, how do I see the glory? Amen. Even though it stinks. Jesus may not have shown up when you thought he should have, but he's here now. He's here in the sink. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And he's reminding you, if you will trust me, I promise you, you will see the glory of the Lord. Oh, somebody, help me in this house. I don't know who or how many I'm talking to today, but I know that the Spirit of the Lord, amen, is here to tell you, keep on trusting. Didn't I tell you that I will be your brother, your mother, your sister, your doctor, your lawyer? I will be your husband. I'll be your wife. I will be your mediator.
Come on.
And then the Bible says, I'm about to finish. Bible says, he looked up. I never thought about this till this morning. But that sun was rolled away. If you ever smell death, it doesn't take long to fill the atmosphere. You know, we get in our, I think we get in our minds that, you know, they were so many feet away from the cave, the Bible says, where it was buried, but I imagine them all being
right there.
Yeah.
And Jesus told them, take away the stone. Yeah. Mary and Martha.
Legit. Good.
Me, I'd be. Yeah. I can promise you. Yeah. One whiff of that stink, and I'm done. I promise you. I got to thinking. How were they reacting when the stone was rolled away? Because
you know it smelled.
Just a little bit of decomposition, but it started all that. I told you it happened in 4 days. Given the right temperature, the right atmosphere, the things might speed up, do worse.
Right.
Preach on that another time. Ooh, I should have thought of that when I was studying. Ooh, hallelujah. Keep it up, keep it. Oh, Lord.
Ah, see?
Because, see, the heat will expose
Come on.
That it's dead a lot sooner than keeping it in a cold place.
Come on.
Somebody mark that down. Preach that sometime. Preach that sometime. You'd rather you be hot or cold.
Right.
Hallelujah. The enemy don't want people knowing that life sinks right now. Come on.
Amen.
Anyhow, let me get off that.
Thank you.
But I never thought about what their reaction would be, what it smelled like. So here's Jesus looking up. Especially Martha's probably like, oh, no.
Right.
Mary was probably trying to stop crying. Right? Martha's like, what is he doing? She wholeheartedly did not expect Jesus to raise him from the dead. She's like, what is he doing? Does he not believe us that he's dead? But the Bible says Jesus looked up. And it stunk.
All right.
Come on. But it wasn't about what they smelled. It wasn't about what they smelled. It was about what they saw.
All right.
Jesus looked up. They were worried about the smell. Jesus said, I just told you, you're going to see the glory. You're about to see something. I ain't trying to be hyper, amen, a hyper Pentecostal or anything here today, but touch a neighbor and tell them, you're about to see something. Come on, hallelujah. Because I don't know when, praise God, but I know you will see the glory. That's what he said, right? Hallelujah. So what did he do? He looked up. Amen. Praise God. While they are worried about the smell, amen, Jesus is saying, I'm about to show you something. I said that to say this. Some of you are in here consumed by the stink that's in your life right now. I'm trying to tell you to, amen, let go and let God. Quit worrying about the smell. Amen. And get your eyes fastened on what you're about to see. God wants the glory. It's the revealing of his character. That's the glory of the Lord. It's who he is. The I am. Not that I will or I can, but the I am. The in the present now. That's the glory of the Lord. It's his character. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Sidkenu. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rohi. Are you with me? Jehovah Shammah. I am the Lord who is there. Healer, I am your peace. I am your way maker. Do you hear me this morning?
Woo!
I'm trying to shut this down.
Come on.
I feel the dunamis power. Get your mind off of what it smells like for just a moment. And look at what the Lord is saying to you. Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you.
Yes, yes, yes.
That even though this sinks, come on, I'm paraphrasing, work with me. I thank you that even though this sinks, see, my mind goes, when I start going, I have to shut myself down. I'm thinking all this because I would be going,
right.
Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that even though this stinks, I thank you that you've always heard me. You've always heard me. Touch your neighbor and say, he heard you. He heard you. I want to break that stronghold in the name of Jesus. That lie that's been a stronghold in your mind that tells you, hey man, not only is God, Jesus didn't show up and do it, but that God didn't even hear you. I want to change your thinking. Oh, that stinking thinking. No pun intended. Yes, pun intended. However you want. I want to remind you that he heard you. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? He said, Father, I thank you that even though you wouldn't let me come when I needed to, you've got a purpose in this. And even though it stinks, I thank you that you have always heard me.
Yes, God.
That's what I'm talking about.
It stinks, but I give you praise.
Come on.
It stinks, but I'm still gonna give you praise. We got to get non-religious. We got it. Hallelujah. Prophetic. I mean that. Because Jesus, that's my grace. <brother. laughs> Thank you, Lord. Until he does it in the house. And the black brother looks like, he didn't say, hey, Lazarus, want to live again? He got a little indignant.
Come on.
He wanted to make sure every fly that formed off that maggot that flew away heard what he was saying. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Come on. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. We'll try not to pierce your ears. Hallelujah. Then he said, Lazarus!
Yes.
You know how the story goes. Got loud with it. Maybe some of you, it's all right. You don't have to get loud, but you can. And when you do, can I tell you, hell and every demon and even death knows, come on, you mean business. So sometimes you just got a little, get a little undignified, come out of your shell, let the stink stink, and cry. Of decomposition reversed in a moment.
Come on.
Think of his condition. We don't think about it. I never have. Right. We don't think about the condition that his body was in. Right. We just think, oh, the sun was rolled away, and here comes Lazarus.
Right.
But all of those enzymes, all of those tissues that had broken down, all of that skin that had loosened, all of that that was leaking and seeping out of his body that was causing that smell, at one word from Jesus, it reversed in a moment. Let me tell you, he didn't go into the tomb.
Yes. Come on.
Come on, talk about it, Pastor. Somebody waiting for Jesus to come to you.
Come on.
Come on. I'm being ugly, but I'm telling you, take away the stone. Let the sink out. Jesus ain't coming in that tomb with you. He's going to call you out. He's going to call you out. He's reversing. He called what was to come out so that all could see. And here it comes. I'm going to pay attention to this. I don't know if I have, I've forgotten. That's good. What's up? The Bible says that his hands and feet were bound. We picture this, you know, the grave clothes wrapped all around him. The Bible says his face was bound with the napkin and his hands and feet were bound with the grave clothes. So I got a picture this morning.
Right.
Come on.
Are you hearing me? I said that to say this, so some of you come up to the, amen, respond to the message.
Come on.
And you go back to your seat the same way.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. Oh, can you imagine their faces when they smell the smell just moments before? But here comes Lazarus whole. Hallelujah. Everything intact. They had to be. No wonder they wanted to kill him again. The Bible says that the people, not the people there, but the people, amen, the Pharisees, and that, they wanted to kill Lazarus again because his testimony was so powerful that it was causing, hallelujah, people to turn to Jesus.
Let him see you delivered. Come on. Yes. Glory.
There's that. His face down too. Jesus said, loosen and let him go. Came off, and Lazarus lived again. Are you hearing me? He called what was to come out so they all could see. You've been so focused on the sink that you're missing what God wants you to see.
Come on now. Come on now.
Didn't I tell you to keep trusting me? Because you will see the glory.
Amen.
So I believe, I'm crazy enough to believe, if I preach it this way this morning, that somebody will leave here going from weeping to leaving. Which is causing the sink.
Come on.
He don't smell. He don't spray frankincense and myrrh and alum and all of these other. We douse people so much with fragrant oil, and all we do is cover up the sink.
Right.
Help us, Jesus. I don't know if he'll listen or not, but back in church down in West Virginia, they got the strongest smell in the world. That's powerful. We've been like that for a while. But how often do we do that just to cover up the sink? Today, you're going from death to blessing. Right now, it don't smell like blessing. And it's okay to admit that it sings as they come to the music. It sings. Preach it, son. Show it. Here it comes. Oh. You will see the glory. In a moment, God reversed 4 days of decomposition and sink. Impossible. But God did. There's some of you in here as you stand to your feet across this place. There's some of you in here. You're focused so much on the sink that you're missing what God wants you to see. I get it. God does too. Some of y'all, your marriage stinks. Your family stinks. Your kids stink. They're so far on the grips of sin. Looks like they're too far gone. Hallelujah. But when the sink is there, death is there. There's nothing you can do about the sink. Only Jesus can. So if you're here in this place as they get ready to worship and you're lost and you don't know Jesus,